The news coming out of Afghanistan is usually about how the Taliban is faring, or the successes and failures of the U.S. and NATO troops, or the latest on the opium poppy crops. But we don't hear much about what the Afghan people think about what's happening in their country. With me now is Craig Charney, a pollster and political scientist whose firm, Charney Research, recently conducted a poll among Afghans. I'm very pleased to welcome you to the show. Hello.
Thank you.
We can talk about the results in a bit, but now perhaps you can tell us what the questions you asked were.
Well, we focused on some of the things you just talked about, namely what Afghans thought of their country, of America, of the Taliban, of their leaders, and, of course, of the opium trade as well.
And how many Afghans were polled?
Over 1,300 in every province in the country.
What about ages and men and women?
It was half-half, male-female, and 18 up in terms of ages across the entire adult spectrum.
And with women, isn't there a cultural problem sometimes? Is it difficult asking a woman who's in a burqa the kinds of questions that you were asking?
Not if it's being done by another woman. The real problem is getting the woman in to interview her, and often our women interviewers have to be accompanied by a mahram, or a man, to get them around the countryside.
Is there a difference when you're polling face-to-face than when you're doing it by telephone, which was obviously not possible in the case of Afghanistan, although in my house it usually occurs just about when I'm sitting down to eat dinner?
There's a greater risk that someone's going to listen in, and you worry that that might influence the answers people give, although we actually keep a record of that, and we find that the answers aren't very different even if somebody else is present. That's the main difference.
When was the poll conducted?
It was conducted in late October, early November.
And did you go to Afghanistan to set the thing up?
I sent someone, Christy Quirk, an experienced pollster who's one of our consultants, and she worked with the Afghan Polling Company, the Afghan Center for Social and Opinion Research, or AXOR.
Where were these things done? Did people go door-to-door, or were they more likely to be done in public spaces?
No, they were done door-to-door. People went to villages that were randomly selected, the length and breadth of the country, and then followed a random walk pattern to get them from one house to the next.
So let's talk a bit about the results. What percentage of the people polled approved of the U.S. military's performance in Afghanistan?
Well, they're supportive of the military presence, but not the military performance. What we find is that about 70% of Afghans are glad that American troops are there, but that under 50% are supportive of America's work in Afghanistan, a big drop in the last year. And that seems to be linked above all to the incidence of civilian casualties and intrusive searches.
So they want us to stay, but they're not happy with what we're doing?
Yes. They blame the Taliban for the current violence, but they hold us accountable for what we're doing, too. I mean, in a word, we need more boots on the ground and fewer bombs on the ground.
Isn't there a certain nostalgia for the Taliban among some parts of the population?
Very little. What we found was that only about 10 or 12% say they're have a favorable view of the Taliban. That has surged a bit in the southwest, however, which is both the most chaotic part of the country and also the one where the opium trade, which the Taliban protects, is flourishing the most.
What are their feelings about Pakistan, their neighbor?
Pretty hostile. They see Pakistan as sheltering the Taliban, and 60 or 70% of Afghans think that it's responsible for a good chunk of their troubles.
I've spoken to a number of American reporters who think that that Pakistan may be behind a lot of the problems in Afghanistan because of hopes of somewhere down the line having a lot more influence there. Do the Afghan people have that same sense?
They seem to see things almost exactly that way.
What did the results tell you about Afghan support for President Hamid Karzai?
That is very durable, interestingly enough. He won a massive election victory, of course, in 2004. And even now, over 60% give him a favorable job performance rating and 80% a personally favorable rating. Those are numbers President Bush would envy.
Despite the fact that there are so many problems in the country and the Karzai government has been accused of being relatively inefficient and actually not having been able to do very much.
All that is true, but Afghans still say that Karzai has done what he can. 60%, for instance, say that reconstruction efforts since the fall of the Taliban have either been fully or partly successful in their areas, and that's quite a lot. Likewise, when those Afghans who say the country's headed in the right direction are asked why, they talk about the efforts, besides rebuilding, the efforts to establish peace, the efforts to create a normal society, and also about the restoration of women's rights and freedom.
Did you ask him about the UN's role in Afghanistan?
This year we didn't, but in the past we found that the UN commanded almost universal support, a 80 to 85% admiring attitudes.
Well, what about the farming of poppies? Is that something that the people have a strong opinion about?
The truth is they're of two minds about it. Most Afghans say that it's a bad thing, but most of them also say it's permissible, it's the only way you can earn a living. It pays much better than any of the other crops available in many areas.
Did you find that attitudes toward the Taliban, or in fact on any of these issues, varied a lot among men and women?
Yes, although not necessarily in the ways you'd predict. In the past, we found a lot of alarm, particularly among young urban women, about the Taliban. Now, we're actually seeing in the most troubled areas some support among rural women for the Taliban as the only force that can bring back law and order. Afghanistan also has security moms.
How much influence do tribal allegiances have?
A lot less than most people think. Karzai himself is a fairly pan-tribal figure. It is true that the Northern Alliance, or the parties descended from it, are mostly based among the non-Pashtun groups, and that Taliban are strongest among the Pashtuns. But the differences are less stark than many people might expect.
How long have you been conducting polls in Afghanistan?
Since 2004, when we conducted the first national political poll for the Asia Foundation, a nonpartisan group that was planning voter education projects there. We've done four of them now.
Who do you hope is paying the most attention to these poll results?
Well, one of the things we've been pleased to discover is that policymakers in Washington are starting to pay attention to them as well. Plus, of course, we hope that the general public pays attention both here and abroad, because it's important to remember that Afghans really want our help.
Americans are very concerned about what happened to women under the Taliban. Do Afghans talk much about women's rights?
They do, both spontaneously, as I mentioned. When you ask them what's going right in their country, women's rights is one of the things they mention. And if you ask specifically, have women's rights improved, 60% or more will say, yes, they definitely have. They talk about women's rights not just to vote, but also to work and to go to school. 40% of Afghanistan's girls are in school now, compared to 0% under the Taliban.
Whenever discussion of polls comes up, people will make the point that they really depend on how the questions are asked. How do you get around certain American attitudes when you're putting together a poll of people from a very different culture?
Two things. One is that we go and we pretest the questions to see whether or not they actually work with real Afghans. The other thing is that in Afghanistan, being an interviewer is actually a pretty good part-time job, given the very few alternatives. So we have teachers, journalists, writers, other local notables as our interviewers. Perhaps the highest quality interviewers we have anywhere, oddly enough, and they pay a lot of attention to question wording and work with us on it.
You're a pollster and a political scientist with a PhD in political science from Yale. Does that affect your polling approach?
I hope it makes it a bit better, but others are perhaps better placed to judge that than I am.
Do you think that enough attention is being paid to what people in Afghanistan think about what's happening in their country?
I think it's starting to be. When we did our first poll in 2004, it was extremely difficult, actually, to get people to pay attention to it, because all the so-called experts knew that Hamid Karzai was hated, no one would vote, and the Pashtuns would never let their women out. And when we produced a poll suggesting that all those images were wrong, some of the so-called experts actually tried to get our poll suppressed. It was your colleague Brian Lehrer, among others, who was among the first who were willing to call attention to the work we did. But by now, the idea that Afghanistan can be polled and the idea that not everything the so-called experts say is right has become a bit more accepted.
Is it the experts or the press coverage?
Well, the two are pretty much one and the same, because the experts and the pressmen hang around at the same bars and hotels in Kabul. I could name two or three of them for you, and spend their time shooting the breeze. The thing is that we've never worked in a country where the distance between the urban elites and expatriates and what's actually going on in the country is so great.
Craig Charney is a pollster and a political scientist whose firm, Charney Research, has been conducting polls among Afghans over the last 6 years, almost 5 years anyway. And I thank you so much for coming by to talk about the results of the most recent one.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.